Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. You're in fine voice as always. Finally, it's election week. Was that muted excitement or thank goodness for that? So next week, I'm sure it'll be all change. But as we think about it and think about our community, our nation, it's interesting, isn't it, what the election brings out in people. Often when you ask people who or what are they going to vote for, they usually say, what's in it for me? Have you asked yourself that question? What's in it for me? Oh, you're so holy. But it's important, isn't it, that we remember to use our voice and take the time to vote in this election. Somehow it feels even more important than ever. But also, as believers, we need to think about showing the Father heart of compassion and seeking justice for those less fortunate than ourselves. And if you remember, at the beginning of June, I sent out some resources for praying for the election. And we think about who that we will vote for prayerfully, that we believe will achieve what they say they will for the good of the other. If you don't believe that they will, pray harder. And so we pray. We gather to worship God who creates us and loves us, who gifts us with diversity and makes us for community, who gives Jesus Christ to show us how to live, who inspires his children of all ages to seek justice, share power, and live together in love and equality, who invites us to join the struggle for wholeness and well-being for all, and whose presence, grace, and love sustain us in our living. We gather to worship God. To God be all glory, honour, and praise. Amen. So let's join together and continue in worship as we sing number 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Let's come together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you not only for creating the world and everything in it, but also for making us and giving us life. We praise you that the world in which you have placed us has been filled with so many beautiful things and so many kind and understanding people. We praise you for your grace to us and your compassion towards all that you have made. We praise you that when your world has turned its back on its maker, you did not reject us or hide your love from us. In Christ, you entered our world and shared every experience of our lives. We praise you for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and for the power of your Holy Spirit who transforms our lives. We praise you for the Spirit's coming to give us strength to enable us to grow and to empower us to know the name of Christ. We praise you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to all your people, that our witness and our worship and our faithfulness might bring you joy. Lord, we think of the world and its leaders, Lord. You ask us within your holy word to pray for all those who lead. We know, Lord, that they haven't always shown your way and your love. Lord, you've called your people to the way of perfect love and to go on demonstrating your presence in everything that we say and do. We praise you for all those whose words and deeds, whose lives of caring and faithful witness to Christ, reflect your love at work in your fallen world. Lord, fill our lives all over again with your holiness and your Holy Spirit, that the whole of our lives might echo to your praise and to your glory. Father, we thank you for every person whose life is committed to changing lives and to bringing healing and wholeness to those whose lives are broken. For all those through whom you reach out with love and compassion. For those who care for us when we are hurting and try to understand us when we feel lost. For those who hold us when we feel empty and lift us up when we are down. Father, we thank you for those who give of themselves, their skills and their energy, that others might know what it means to be healed. We thank you for our healing in Christ, for the renewal of life within us, and the healing of our relationship with you, all of which was made possible at the cost of Jesus' death on the cross. We thank you for his resurrection, for you have transformed even death from an end into a new beginning of wholeness, perfection, and a heaven of praise. Father, we are only too aware that we are not the people that you meant us to be. We are not living the kind of lives that you created us to live, and our words and our thoughts and our deeds are not bringing you the glory that they were designed to do. Forgive us, Father. Perhaps for the way that through our plans and dreams and choices we damage your world, that we hurt each other, and we create a barrier between ourselves and you. We ask that you would not only forgive us, but that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cleanse us and renew us. Lord, you made us for freedom and responsibility. But we allow ourselves to be controlled by other people's ideas and opinions. So often our lives are governed by our wants and not our necessities. We allow decisions to be made for us. Lord, as we look to the election this week, Lord, help us to remember our responsibility to show your love, your compassion, your justice in our neighbourhood, in our community, in our nation. Father, give us strength and courage and determination to stand for what we know is real and true and of you. Enable us to live boldly, daring to love and be loved, knowing that by faith we are your sons and daughters. Lord, we praise you, the Lord of all wonder and of all life. We rejoice that with you nothing is impossible, and that even before we knew it, you were touching our lives and preparing them to be filled with your love. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, who opens our eyes to see the world, not only as it really is, but also as you meant it to be. So Lord, help us, be with us. Lord, as we prayerfully look to you, help us, Lord, to be in the same business as you, kingdom business, transforming the world and the lives of all of your people. And Lord, we know that we don't do any of this in our own strength, but by you who loves us and seeks us. So Lord, bless us now. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So you'll notice there's a gap on the board, which means that the next song is not in the hymn book. We are reliant on the screen. So let's join together and sing, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
Thank you.
I've been thinking a lot this week about the fact that we are asked to pray for our leaders, not just kings and queens, but our governments, anyone who holds a position of leadership or authority, including your pastor and all pastors of all churches. And so I want to jump back into government. No, I'm still here. Still good. And if we go into the wisdom chapters, we get a long list of Solomon's teachings. And the final section of Proverbs, it's connected to two women. One is the mother of King Lemuel and the ideal of a godly, excellent wife. We're going to miss the excellent wife bit because obviously you all are, aren't you? But themes found in the passage that we're going to look at are reflected in other lessons all the way through the book of Proverbs. It's a really good book to read if you want to be wise like Solomon. First nine verses of the chapter we're going to hear in a moment contain wisdom given to a king named Lemuel as spoken by his mother. This fits in with other mentions in the book of Proverbs which commend a godly mother's instructions. Lemuel's mother searches for the right words for her son and then delivers some key advice. And so taking the part of King Lemuel this morning, we have Nigel. Thank you.
You'll find the reading on page 668 of the Pew Bible. Proverbs 31, verses 1 to 9, sayings of King Lemuel. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. Listen, my son, listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answers to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigour on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy.
Thank you. And the purpose of those verses is to instruct in what the ideal human king ought to look like. He is sensible personally so that he may tend well to protect others through justice and compassion. I think as we heard those words, the description probably runs contrary to the ordinary experience. Now, as in Bible times where power is often pursued and used to gain of the individual rather than the sake of those who are being led. Among these are warnings about the destructive dangers of adultery and intoxication. A king who deals in those risks destruction and failure as a leader. Instead, as we heard in those last two verses, his focus ought to be on lending his abilities to those who are weak. So we will look specifically at verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and of the needy. And before we do that, we'll sing number 625. Take time to be holy. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, as we've just sung, that we do need to take time to be holy, time to be still with you. Lord, as we feed on your word, open our hearts, open our minds, that we would recognize your Father heart of compassion and justice for your world. Lord, may we hear your word to us now. Amen. So I've entitled this morning's preach, Speak Up. It doesn't mean to say you can all have a chat at me now. But I think for some of us, actually, the thought of speaking up for what we believe in kind of sends us running, scuttling into our shells, doesn't it? Particularly if you're an introvert. To actually speak up genuinely is going to be hard, but to speak up for your faith and what you believe in feels almost harder. We've not had a lot of choice on the TV this week, have we? If you don't like football, you're kind of stuffed. I'm happy as Larry. I'm 2 hours every couple of hours just sitting on the sofa watching football. Brilliant. But if you don't want to watch the football, you've got the televised debates. Anyone endured any of those? Well done, you, Philippa. I'm naming and shaming you. But some of you may already have voted with your postal votes, and some of us will go and vote on Thursday. But our responsibility doesn't end when we cast our vote, does it? And in case you think, yes, it does, because I'm going to hand it all over to them and they can make a mess for the next 4 years and then we'll do it all again. We each actually have a responsibility, as the Bible tells us, to love one another, to fight for compassion, for justice, and all the things that God himself cares about. In our country, we do still have the right to freedom of speech. Just about. The right to seek and to receive and impart information and ideas of all kinds by any means. That doesn't include hate speech. Over more recent years, I think I would suggest there's been an increase in marches and campaigns and rallies seeking to draw our attention to such things as social injustices, rights of the minorities and the marginalized, the rise in or the unspoken fact of abuse and of climate change. Many movements have risen up. Each of us will hold differing opinions on their tactics and their message. But what or whom do we care strongly about enough to want to make a difference? What or whom has God placed on your heart? Over the last few months, we've been thinking about spirit-filled living. Whom and what is the Holy Spirit showing us? Where is he leading us? In a world that is filled with injustice, what is the role of Christ followers to help those who are in need? Christians in every age are called to defend the rights of the weak, so speak up for the marginalized and protect the life of those who are vulnerable. This inclusive call reminds us that the blessings and the rights and the means and influence that we may have are not ours alone. They are a gift from God to be used to bless those who have no power to speak, to defend, or to protect themselves. What do we choose? Is it something that perhaps feels too hard? A great privilege that comes with free speech is that we can use our voice for those who don't have one. Organisations like World Vision remind us that the Bible clearly calls Christians to advocate, so be a supporter or to encourage those in need and is filled with many verses in which God specifically asks us to speak up on behalf of them. God's word, the Bible, has a lot to say about justice and mercy and service and love and our role in being an advocate for our neighbour. As I said earlier, the election mantra seems to be what's in it for me. However, as believers in the way of Christ, the way of love, we do have a responsibility to love one another. As we are constantly being bombarded by so many voices, pushing conflicting messages at us that are filled with self and bias and promoting political interest, God's word is our guide as we live through this time. Reminded, aren't we, in Psalm 119, those famous verses, that God's word is a lamp to our feet, and our Lord is our rock, our solid ground, while a storm of uncertainty rages around us. A couple of verses that many organisations like Open Doors and World Vision and others use to encourage us to stand up for those who are experiencing oppression and injustice comes from the text that Nigel read to us this morning. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. It's a clear instruction to be people who are a voice for the voiceless, seeking justice and compassion. It answers with a resounding yes to the question, should believers speak up when we see injustice being carried out around us? The wisdom of God's word forces us to look beyond self and shakes us, or should shake us, out of our comfort zones and instructs us to do what each of us can do to be an advocate for those who we come across that need our help, that are not being heard and don't have access to the justice that they deserve. As I was writing, I was reminded of the words from the servant king. So let us learn how to serve each other's need to prefer, for it is Christ that we are serving. The book of Proverbs, along with Job and Psalms, Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon, or songs, depending on which version you have, are five books that, as I said earlier, are classified as wisdom literature. When you're lacking a bit of wisdom, go to the books of wisdom. It was a category of literature in many cultures in the time of the Old Testament and deals with the way that the world works. It was unique in that God was recognized as the fountainhead, the source of all wisdom. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Our verses are recorded as the words of King Lemuel, well, his mum actually. No one knows who he was or where he was king. His name means one devoted to God, which links us as a possible divine name given to Solomon, who is actually the principled writer of Proverbs, having been granted the gift of wisdom directly from God because of his humility and the desire to be a good leader in order to share with others the powerful gift of wisdom that God has given him. It may also, some suggest, be a term of endearment from Solomon's mother, because whatever, it was an oracle that his mother taught him. The Proverbs were written to offer instruction and wisdom and understanding to others. They were recorded to help others judge rightly, gain discernment, and helped to pass knowledge to the young. And I don't think it's any misunderstanding that it's our young people that are leading the way this century in speaking out for all injustices. The purpose of the verses we heard is to instruct in what the ideal human king ought to look like. And it's a prescriptive list almost of how to live justly. Verses 8 and 9 instruct him and therefore us personally how to protect others through justice and compassion. This passage urges actions on the part of those who are in a position to act. If we have a voice, access, privilege to influence, we should be using it to plead the cause of those who are experiencing oppression. As we read our Bible, inaction is not something that the Bible accommodates. Have you ever noticed that? It doesn't say sit still and do nothing. It says speak up. If we are committed to following the teachings, then we must see the world through God's eyes and his wisdom. We cannot close our eyes because it makes us feel uncomfortable or because they're not like us. We can't close our eyes to the needs of others in our community and beyond, which may include complex and difficult issues where we often feel out of our depth. So how do we speak for the voiceless? As the Hillsong Hosanna goes, open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. So the first thing we have to do is open our hearts. And in any situation, whether we are professionally trained or not, we start by listening. There's a famous, actually non-biblical quotation. We have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. I like that. That can be our mantra for this week. We have two ears and one mouth so we can listen twice as much as we speak. Proverbs 1 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. If we want to be the voice for the voiceless, we first have to be willing to hear what they are saying so we can speak with wise words. That means that those who are not like ourselves, perhaps socially, politically, ethically, those whom the Holy Spirit leads us to, when we are willing to lend our voices. Listening is how we grow empathy. It's hard, isn't it, to listen? Often we're listening to what they're saying, but already trying to work out what we're going to do to help. Or thinking, where's the exit door? I need to get out of here quick. And that empathy, that compassion for the other, leads us to prayer. Each of us can begin by prayerfully examining our own hearts and asking God to reveal ways that we have let perhaps apathy and comfort or ignorance stop us from speaking up for those that need our voice. We need to take time to seek God's will, to discover his heart for the least of these, as Jesus puts it, in our world. And asking him how he can use us to be the change that we want to see as agents of God's healing power in our broken world. Remembering, as we've been thinking over these last few weeks, the gifts of the Spirit, words of knowledge and wisdom, discernment, asking God to show us how and when to speak. God wants to uniquely use each of us and the gifts he has given us as his vessels of love, of justice, of mercy, and of grace. Isn't that how Jesus showed us how to live? And with his Holy Spirit dwelling within us, every believer can use their gifts so that the whole body is able to work together in unity. When we all embrace this concept, then our neighbour in need is taken care of. Dare we pray a prayer asking God to use us to make a difference for those who need a voice? For those most in need in our community. The way that God answers our prayers will look different for us all. And there is so much already going on. But we know, don't we, with things and thoughts in our own minds, that it's still not enough. Finally, we need to be bold enough to take God-inspired action. Do we speak up or out for those who are being oppressed or persecuted? Do we seek relationships with those different to ourselves? And in doing so, do we actually listen to them? Do we pray continually for those that God has and will show us? Some of that's what we do on our prayers on a Monday morning. I invite you to join us as we pray for those not just known to us, but those in our community and for the world. It's only for half an hour, so we don't cover too much. But we do trust in a God who hears our prayers and takes our prayers and uses each one of us. That those prayers of intercession would go beyond ourselves and the what's in it for me, to our community, our town, our nation, and our world, that we would pray for God's peace and justice and healing. Can we use our expertise and position to listen and to fight for those who are most vulnerable in our society? As the song goes, beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. I know many of you support charities and agencies and movements that are close to your hearts. May our combined voices spark a flame that seeks change for those in need of a voice. Micah 6:8, as one of my life verses, is paraphrased in the Message like this. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women, it's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Let us listen to his voice and begin to do what he tells us to do. Be the voice for the voiceless. Speak up. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we yield ourselves again to your irresistible work of love and forgiveness in us, in the world around us. I know that it's your will to help those that are afflicted, to support the weak, to provide for the widows and the orphans, and to help those that are in need. As believers in your gospel message, let us be different, but not too different that we become indifferent to human suffering and social problems. Open our eyes to the people and places where you are at work today, even if it makes us uncomfortable. May we ask that question, how can we join in? Use our hands to be of service to those of need, and our voices to speak words of healing and encouragement to those that are afflicted and are in distress. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Let us be as Christ to them today. Amen. And so as we sing number 857, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, are we bold enough to say, pick me? Think about that as you're singing 857, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Let's pray. God sends us forth to love all people, no strings attached. We will share grace and hope with everyone. Jesus sends us forth to forgive our sisters and brothers. We will offer mercy, not judgment, to those around us. The Spirit sends us forth to trust God in every moment. We will live in faith, not in fear, sharing our hearts with all we meet. Amen.